Hi guys, and welcome to the You Were Made For More podcast.
Thank you so much for being with us. Our heart here yearns for teens to know that they are valued, loved, and created for a purpose. Currently, our culture is feeding the younger generation so many lies, telling them that they are defined by what others say about them, how they perform, what they have to offer to others, or even how they fit a certain image or a certain picture. The truth speaks of a completely different narrative. Our identities are found in one thing, and that one thing changes everything: Jesus. That's a powerful, transformative statement. When this idea gets from our heads to our hearts, it shifts how we live, what we believe, and how we do relationships with others. Our mission is to consistently speak about the abundant life that is freely offered to us, because we have seen and believe that when teenagers know what they are worth and whose they are, they will be more inclined to live for Jesus, following his commandments and walking in his ways. God says that you are valued, loved, and created for a purpose, and that changes everything. The You Were Made For More podcast hosts conversations on tough relational topics while connecting ideas about relationships, identity, and the gospel in profound ways that encourage critical thinking as we navigate the world around us. We aim to always point back to the hope that we have because we were made for more. Hey y'all, and welcome to this episode of the You Were Made For More podcast. My name is Sammy Gallo. I'm your host today. I am really excited to bring you this conversation with my friend Janelle DeStefano. Janelle serves as the full-time Young Life staff member in Swickley, Pennsylvania, where my church is. We've gotten connected through mutual friends, and we're in the same life group together, and I've gotten to know her and her husband Sam, and I thought that she was the perfect person to interview about being in the thick of it with kids, about walking with students and doing life with them, and the good and the bad and what that can look like. Janelle has been involved with Young Life for 8 years now, whether that's as a student, as a leader in college, and now as a staff member. And that was not her life plan. So she has said yes boldly to God and has followed him, and has seen redemption from that yes, and now is walking alongside of and doing life with students in Swickley. And that's what we're going to chat about today. So I'm excited for you guys to meet her, and let's dive into this conversation. Janelle, go ahead, and if you can just introduce yourself. I always ask our guests to give kind of like a short snip, like a short little snapshot, I guess, a Spark Notes version of who you are, what you're about, where we can find you, what your daily life looks like today, so that they can get to know you a little bit better.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. My name is Janelle DeStefano. I'm on staff with Young Life in Swickley, PA, or like Northwest Pittsburgh area. A few things about me. I have been married almost a year. I went to Grove City, met my husband there. We got married this summer right after college, and July 20th will be our 1 year anniversary. So that's very exciting. I used to be a barista for almost 3 years, and I love a latte and any type of coffee. I constantly need it. But some other things that I like to do: I love to thrift. I love to be outside or be active in any way. I love pickleball. But mostly you will catch me either being outside doing something or hanging out with students and doing whatever I can to just be with them and spend time with them.
Thank you so much for telling us a little bit about you. I kind of want to start off by asking you to tell us a little bit about your testimony. You do this a lot as a young life leader with students, but tell me how you met Jesus, how he changed your life. How was your life substantially different from the time before you knew Jesus to the time after you knew Jesus, and kind of what has your walk with him looked like?
So a little bit about my walk with Jesus. It is a little bit all over the place, but a really significant part in my story is that my dad passed away from ALS when I was a year old. So my mom raised my older sisters and I as a single parent. My dad was a Christian before he passed away, and my mom also is a very faithful believer and was very committed to raising us in the church and is just the most amazing, beautiful example of what a follower of Christ looks like. But because of just processing losing a parent and then also having a lot of mental health struggles in my family, and also just ways that I've struggled myself, I really feel like I was angry towards God, and I didn't understand why he was good and why he would allow so much brokenness to happen in my life. And I was really just deaf to the gospel pretty much my whole life until I wasn't anymore. After my freshman year of high school, that summer, I was in a really low place in my mental health. And on my lowest night, my older sister, who had just started following Jesus earlier that year, actually led me to Christ and showed me what it would look like to put my faith in him. And I had the tiniest bit of faith ever and said yes. And then a few months later, like 2 months, when I started my sophomore year of high school, I actually got invited to Young Life for the first time by one of my friends in my science class that I had met. And I went and immediately fell in love with the community and ultimately just fell in love with Jesus and realized that Jesus was who I'd been searching for my entire life. And I was just so confident that I had finally found him. So I really just learned how to be a follower of Jesus through Young Life. My leaders did such a beautiful job of just being with me and showing me Christ through the way that they loved me. My life looked so drastically different after I started following Jesus. I had so much purpose for my life. And I also just knew that I didn't have to try so hard anymore, but I could live in the freedom and forgiveness that Christ so freely offered me through his death and resurrection on the cross.
I think what you mentioned there at the end is so important. Like, when we really accept Jesus into our lives and our heart as our Savior, our life should look drastically different. And if it doesn't, I think the key is that you need to find people to walk alongside of you to do that. How can and who can you talk to that will help you drastically change your life? Okay, my next question for you, Janelle, is a big, like, overarching question, but I think it's important to talk about because Young Life is such a big organization, and I think every staff member has a different why, and that why is based on your personal testimony. But what is your mission as a Young Life staff member, and what is your ultimate hope and your goal for the students in your community?
The mission statement of Young Life is to introduce adolescents to Jesus Christ and help them grow in their faith. So that is the backbone behind all that we do. Young Life has a few different categories, but I work with high school students, and Young Life is for every kid, but it is mostly targeted towards what we call the furthest out kid. So the furthest out kid is a student who would never naturally step foot in a church, whether that is because their family is not religious, their family is a different religion, or their family has some sort of church hurt. But that there is a barrier between that student stepping foot in a church. That is the student that Young Life was made to target. So in this ministry, the biggest thing is to be with students. We are going to where students are and being with them, loving them where they are, sitting with them, and hopefully one day pointing them to Jesus in a real and tangible way. My goal is that every student in Sewickley and beyond would know Jesus Christ as their savior, and that their lives would be fully committed to him. Our prayer with Young Life in Sewickley is that light would shine in the darkness, and we know that the Bible says that then the darkness cannot overcome it, and that is our prayer, that we would just be lights in a dark community that doesn't know Jesus, and that not only students' lives would be changed forever, but also whole families would be restored through just Jesus and his healing in their lives.
I think this is such a cool mission, like particularly in Sewickley for our listeners who don't know of Sewickley or have never heard of Sewickley and you're like, where is that? What is it all about? It's a small town outside of Pittsburgh, a suburban area, and ironically, like a lot of kids in Sewickley are churched. So I remember when Young Life first started in Sewickley, I was like, wow, this is an interesting dynamic. And then as I started to see it develop, I really saw like the difference in who you guys target. And I love that explanation. I have never heard that explanation before about it targeting a kid who has a barrier up from going to church, because I think that's a lot of kids, whether they don't have a ride to church, whether their parents have been hurt by the church and they're not supportive of them going to church, but maybe they would be supportive of them going to like a hangout with friends that is Christian related. That's where Young Life stands, is like you guys stand in the gap to do that, and you do it in very fun and tangible ways, which I love. My sister met the Lord through Young Life, so I know firsthand like how it really, the model really does change lives. And it introduces people to Jesus who have hurt from before, and they're willing to walk with them through that.
This is kind of a question that I get all the time from parents and youth leaders, and this is what I kind of want to center our conversation around today, is how do we really get to the hard stuff with students? Like, how do we enter into the thick of it with kids? How do we initiate hard conversations and then also follow through with them? What have you found to be successful? What have you seen to be successful? What are you implementing? Like, how can we do this better? Because I think this is a practical piece that's missing from a lot of ministry.
Yeah, I think one of the main things that sets Young Life apart from most other ministries that I've seen is that we go to where students are, and we don't expect them to come to us. We call this contact work, where we go to sporting events, we go to musicals, we go to the local ice cream shop or parks, or the Y in the winter and play pickup basketball with students. We go to anywhere that students are in our community and start to build relationships with them. Something that I'm super passionate about, and I think every Young Life staff person has to be passionate about, is just being with students and doing what they like to do. If a student loves to go get coffee, I am going to do that. If a student loves to go on a drive and listen to music, I'm going to do that with them and listen to the type of music they like to listen to. I'm going to do anything that I can to build relationships with any type of student. And we are here to kind of play the long game of friendship with them. We want to be someone who is a consistent and loving adult in their lives, and we do not want to just be another person that walks into their life and then leaves them, because unfortunately, most students have either a parent or a friend or a boyfriend or girlfriend or someone in their life who has promised to be there forever and then has left them and broken that trust. Young Life uses the term a lot, earning the right to be heard. And we say that because we know that we have to earn the right to be heard with students before they trust us enough to speak into their lives. And that takes a really long time. And that's something that I'm constantly reminding myself, that it just takes so much time to earn students' trust and, to make them feel safe and loved by you. So like I said, we will often play the long game with them and just be a consistent and loving adult in their lives. Something that a staff person encouraged me in this past year was that, a great way to spend time with students is just do the things you're already doing and then just bring them along. So you will always see me bring students along to grocery shop or get gas or run a random errand with me or go to the mall or do literally anything that I normally would do by myself, but just bring them along with me. Because really, in those in-between moments that aren't a programmed event, like we have a Bible study and then our outreach event weekly, but those like in-between moments are when we really just get to be intentional with students and check in on them and ask them questions about their lives. Like, I love using those times to learn more about their family or what they're involved in or what they're struggling with or how school is going. I always am trying to think of a way to just continue to build that relationship and love them and show Jesus to them in slight ways. I think that one of the hardest things with people is that they are not willing to be interruptible and inconvenienced by anyone, but especially not students. And I think that this is why a lot of other ministries aren't successful, because students can see that and they see that they are an inconvenience to other people's lives. And something so beautiful that I've even seen in this past year is actually with my husband stepping into being a leader on our team, and just with this one student specifically who really will call him at any time of the day, like 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., and calls him every day and multiple times a day. And while there has to be boundaries set in place, of course, my husband Sam just does such a beautiful job of being inconvenienced and caring for this student in whatever he needs, whether it is seems big or insignificant, that Sam is just able to care for him and show him the love of Christ, just by answering a quick call, and just caring for him in that way. And I think that that is just really important to what we do, that we are so willing to do things in a longer way and not a quicker way at all, by bringing students along and doing life with them. I feel like as a leader, it is really important to me that I sit in the hard things with students. And I think that this is because I was going through so much when I was in high school and processing so much. And I saw the love of Christ so clearly through my leader who sat with me and processed with me, and just was there with me. And honestly, like, I don't really remember any of the things that she said to me, any of the ways that she comforted me. But what I remember is that she would just be with me. And that is just how I have decided to lead ministry since that, because that impacted my life so much. And I think it shows the character of Christ so clearly. I think that people often think that they have to have all of the right words to say to students or people that are going through difficult things. But the reality is that you don't need to have the right words. You just need to be with them.
Yeah, so well said. I think that so often we stop ourselves from doing life with students because we feel like we have to have all the right answers. And when we're in the thick of our own mess and are wrestling with God and our faith and trying to figure out our own lives, that we let that stop us from just being a light to other people. I can say wholeheartedly that, like, in my walk with Jesus, people that I look up to and my mentors, I have watched them wrestle with God, and they've just, like, been with me, and we've done life together, and that has taught me more about God than anything has, any speech, anyone pretending like they had it all together, that has taught me more about the character of God than anything else. And I think that that's something we miss because we put so much pressure on ourselves and we just think we have to have all the answers.
But I think that doing this so clearly shows the heart of God to students and radically changes their lives, like it changed mine. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is when Jesus is on his journey in his ministry and Jairus comes and stops him and is so desperate because his daughter is dying and he needs Jesus to come quickly to go and heal her. And then on their way to Jairus' daughter, this woman who had been bleeding for 12 years touches Jesus' cloak because she thinks that even if she can just touch the clothes of Jesus, that she believes that Jesus could heal her. And then we know that Jesus stops in his tracks and in this huge crowd is trying to figure out who touched him because he is aware that power had left his body or spirit. And that he is trying to find out who it was that touched him. And then Jesus stops on his way to going to Jairus' daughter. Jairus is probably so confused and honestly probably impatient and wanting Jesus to just come with him quickly. But Jesus stops and is just with this woman and gets to hear her story. And gets to just watch the transformation happen right in front of his eyes. And then, of course, he goes and is then with Jairus and his daughter and heals her. But it's just such a beautiful picture of Jesus being not in a hurry at all and being ready to be interruptible and just be with the people that he is called to be with. And I feel like the main thing that compels me to go time and time again, because it is hard. It's hard to be with students. It's hard to walk into their lives. It's hard to sacrifice for them. But Romans 10:14 says, how can they know if they have not heard? And I just think about this all the time. Like, how can they know if no one has walked into their lives? And my target and group of people that I'm trying to reach with being on Young Life staff is our furthest out kids who maybe have never been told the gospel before. How can they know if they have not heard? And of course, Jesus reveals himself through creation and through other people and through so many different ways. He is all powerful and does not need me at all to do the work of his kingdom. But what is so beautiful is that God wants to use us to be a part of his redemptive story. And we just get to walk in that and be with the people that he's called us to be with.
Yeah, that's something like I've been humbled by. Okay, and I kind of want to end this episode by talking about the coolest story of fruition that you've seen come through being faithful to the call that God has had on your life as a leader, as a person who's discipling students. How have you seen your yes multiply into more yeses, or how have you seen the Lord be faithful in that yes?
God has truly just been so kind to me in allowing me to see the fruit and his faithfulness in just being a part of the ministry of Young Life. When I was a high schooler, there were so many lives that I got to see changed, one being my own, through the ministry. And then when I was in college, so many ways. And then even this past summer, I took a trip of students to camp. Only like a few weeks ago, we got back and two students gave their lives to Christ and their lives are forever changed by what Jesus is doing and what Jesus is doing in our community. And it is just so beautiful to be a part of. But one of the coolest stories that I think about all the time was when I was leading in college at Lakeview High School, which was about 20 minutes away from where I went to college. And when I started leading there, I was like the first team of leaders that was placed there. So it was a startup school. So there was no Young Life, no ministry going on before I got there, except for a few months before they had put a staff person there. But my sophomore year leading at that school, I decided to be a volleyball coach because I played volleyball in high school and I just wanted to have an in with students and just get to be with them and be a part of their lives. So I started coaching, and coaching is a very loose term. I was pretty much just there and was seen by the students. But I led that entire fall. I show up to practice, I show up to games. I got to do what I felt was very insignificant. Most of the times when I would be walking into the school, I'd be questioning what the heck I was doing with my life, and just wondering what God could ever do with my little bit of faithfulness in going and being consistent at the school. And for an entire year, I did not see any fruit of that. And I didn't end up coaching the next year because of my classes in school were ramping up, so I didn't have the time for it. But what was so beautiful is that almost exactly a year after I'd gone to the school and I had stepped into students' lives and been a coach, I started seeing some of those volleyball girls come to our outreach events. And I got to start spending more time with them, learning a little bit more about their lives and their families and what they like to do, and would start hanging out with them outside of those events. And there was this one girl in particular that, I had just always wanted for her to get involved. And all of her friends were involved at this point. Some of those girls had gone to camp the year before and their lives had been changed at camp, and they were following Jesus so seriously. And still this one friend of theirs was not coming around, and none of us really knew why. We thought maybe just she was busy, or we didn't really know. And then throughout her whole senior year, she still never came. And then for some reason, she signed up for camp that summer. And I wasn't really supposed to go to camp that summer because I was graduating college as well. And I was also getting married that summer, and there was a lot of things going on. But because of some extenuating circumstances, I ended up going to camp that summer and leading some of these girls that I'd known since they were freshman or sophomore girls in high school. And this one girl in particular, who had never like come to a Young Life event before, came to camp with us. And I didn't know anything about her before we went to camp. And as we were on the bus driving up to camp, I just started to learn more about her, learned that she is a great question asker and just wanted to get to know me. And we just started having the best time together at camp. We were having so much fun. And during camp, we have cabin time. So each night they will go to club, they will hear a presentation of the gospel. And then in cabin time that night, we'll get to process with all these students from their high school, just what the gospel means for our lives. And during cabin time, this is the only, I don't even know why I did this, but, I decided to have them journal before we actually started talking, because so much happens in a day at camp that I just wanted them to be able to remember everything that was happening and also have the opportunity to process the gospel on their own before we would come together and talk about it. So each night we would all just be silent, journaling together, and then come together and talk. And then also something about Young Life Camp is by the end of the week, they have heard the full progression of the gospel. They have heard about a creator who loved them. They've heard about their sin and their need for a savior, and they hear about the cross and Jesus resurrecting, and then that there is a response that needs to happen because of that. So by the end of the week, leaders will have one-on-ones with students, so we'll just get to pull them aside and get to hear how the week's been going, how they've been processing what they've been hearing at club. And this one girl who had not shown up, every time that we would journal before cabin time, she would be like writing away. She'd be writing so much, and then during cabin time would not say anything at all. And I was so curious throughout the whole week what was going on inside her brain, because it seemed like she had so much to write down but then had nothing to say. And then when I sat down with her, we were sitting outside the game room, and we are sitting there for a one-on-one, and I'm just like asking her how camp's going, what if there's anything specific she wants to talk about. And she just hands me her notebook that she had been writing in all week, and it is full of questions about who Jesus is, what he's about, what is sin. It was like anything from like, what is sin, is my grandma going to heaven, and to like, will my dog go to heaven. So like every question in between she was asking and wanted to know the answers to. And it was just the most beautiful thing ever that I had accepted the call to be a volleyball coach my sophomore year of college. And each time when I showed up, I had no idea why I was there, and I didn't really want to be there. And then 3 years later, she had never even come to a Young Life event, but got to hear the gospel explained and was just asking so many questions and was really processing what this meant for her life for the very first time. And in that one-on-one, I got to sit with her and answer every question that I knew the answer to. We got to read scripture together and allow that to just speak for itself and answer the questions for her. And in that moment, outside of the game room at club, she gave her life to Christ. And now she is still following Jesus. She's been following him ever since. She now is going to a school in Pittsburgh and is just doing amazing things and being such a light to the people around her. And it is just still one of the most beautiful things I've ever gone to see. Just the curiosity and then just Jesus moving so clearly in her heart and providing all of the answers that she needed to put her faith and trust in him.
Janelle, thank you so, so, so much for being with us today. I can't thank you enough for sharing your heart about what's going on in your community with your students in their lives. I just can't thank you enough for sharing that with us, and I pray that the Lord would bless you abundantly in the work that he's called you to, and that he would use your words to inspire other people to also be faithful to the calling that he's placed on their lives and to be bold with their yeses.